So we have seen accolades to Anselm Bussard for his management of the company during its first year. Profits were good and production figures were good and all had gone very well. But that is about to come to an abrupt halt with some very serious difficulties. From the second year of mill operation and for more than a decade, Anselm Bussard faced problems from a most unexpected quarter, the river. What had been considered a secure foundation for industrial enterprise and a solid base for economic security proved not so secure or safe. The reservoir system, created in northern Minnesota by the United States Army Corps of Engineers, may have been much appreciated by the users of water power in Minneapolis, but such was not the case for those who lived in the water control area. Doubts freely expressed when the dams were built were voiced again when the old wooden structures were replaced with concrete. The first of the new dams was completed at Lake Winnie in 1900, another at Leech Lake in 1903, and at Pokegama Falls, where no water had been held from the turn of the century, a new concrete dam was erected in 1904. The dams had been a source of concern to the Kaukauna investors considering a mill in Grand Rapids, but they were assured that the natural flow of the river would not be altered. As the Kaukauna Times reported, they came to regard the United States government holding above them almost inexhaustible supplies of water as insurance of continuing water power, even during dry periods. That was not to be the case. Unexpectedly, in the fall of 1903, the new Winnebagoches Dam closed, and the Itasca Paper Company quickly felt the results. The water level in the reservoir above the dam in Grand Rapids dropped, and soon there was not enough power to operate the pocket grinders. To stay in production, the mill had to buy pulp from Brainerd, an expensive proposition. Should the low water continue, the mill might be forced to shut down. Should production cease for an extended period, the mill might even be permanently closed. The situation was grim, and the Herald Review reported that manager Bussard was discouraged over the outlook. In danger of losing the paper mill that they had worked so hard to obtain, the citizens of Grand Rapids, supported by the Herald Review, came to the rescue. How long, the newspaper thundered, will the people of this section of northern Minnesota meekly submit to the whims of those in charge of the government reservoirs on the upper Mississippi? The article accused the Army engineers of incalculable damage to both private and public interests and said that although the Corps of Engineers specifically had agreed to maintain the flowage of the river, it had made no effort to do so. The comment was made, the Itasca Paper Company is an institution that is of greater value to the country in any 6 months of operation than all the dams combined have been during all the years of their existence. In another article, the Herald Review charged the Corps of Engineers with putting every possible obstacle in the path of the Grand Rapids Water Power and Boom Company efforts to develop the water power. And it suggested there might even be a conspiracy to make manufacturing at Grand Rapids unprofitable. It urged all citizens to attend a meeting of the recently organized commercial club to demand, not implore, the government officials to change their policy. Lawyer C.C. McCarthy drew up a petition addressed to the Secretary of War, praying that the government reservoirs be no longer managed in such a manner that might inevitably result in the destruction of our present property. Every resident presented with the petition signed it, and in November, Congressman Beattie delivered it to the Secretary of War. Several months passed, and then the Herald Review announced that the citizens of Grand Rapids and the management of the company had cause to rejoice over the outcome of the request for more water. The Army Corps of Engineers had agreed to supply water sufficient to operate the pulp grinders at Grand Rapids. Difficulties with the Army engineers and the reservoir system were far from over. In 1905, almost 26 inches of rain fell in northern Minnesota between May and September. Subsequent flooding downriver from Grand Rapids in the area around Aiken was devastating. The river began to rise in June and remained at flood stage until September. Most of the 30,000 acres of farmland in the Aiken region were underwater for part or all of the summer. Crops were ruined and many farms deserted. As the waters rose around Aiken, the Army engineers closed all three dams of the reservoir system above Grand Rapids to prevent still more water from reaching the afflicted area. Even with the heavy rainfall, the Mississippi River at Grand Rapids was almost dry. The Corps released only 400 cubic feet of water per second at the Bokegama Dam, and the bucket grinders that supplied the pulp for the Itasca Paper Company were again without power. This time, the mill did shut down temporarily. The situation seemed absolutely incongruous to the residents of Grand Rapids. Water abounded as seldom seen, yet none was where it was needed. Well, many in northern Minnesota, ignoring the effects of the continuing rain, were quick to condemn the reservoir system and to blame flooding problems on the Army Corps of Engineers. And that certainly was not a fair thing to do. The situation in Aiken is very serious, and it certainly has to be addressed. But even the Duluth News Tribune got in on all this, and it said the Corps of Engineers system was of no earthly benefit to any section, locality, or person, and was a curse to the great part of northern Minnesota. Citizens throughout the region expressed the sentiment that the dams were ineffectively managed by pompous engineers who paid heed to nothing but their own delight in playing with water levels. And again, certainly it's not very fair, but what a dilemma for the paper mill it is. The future of the mill once more in question, the Herald Review again came to its defense, joining the attack on the Army engineers' interference in local affairs. The newspaper referred to the reservoir system as our destroying nemesis, fed and fostered by appropriations from the National Treasury. It said those who operated the dam were incompetent and unreasonable, and that they were responsible for wanton and unnecessary destruction of homes and farms. It expressed much bitterness towards the millionaire millers and lumber manufacturers in Minneapolis who supposedly benefited from the problems in northern Minnesota. Newspapers in the Twin Cities entered the fray, pointing out that had the reservoir dams not been closed, up to 4 additional feet of water would have been unleashed on the flooded Aiken area. The papers charged that selfish interests in the Grand Rapids region wished the dams eliminated so they could obtain rights to land that had acquired value since the reservoirs were built. St. Paul Pioneer Press intended to keep a close watch on the matter. Well, while the arguments raged, the paper mill at Grand Rapids operated without adequate water until flooding began behind the government dams. Only then was water released, adding to the flooding difficulties at Aiken, but providing water in Grand Rapids. Once again, tempers flared, and the Corps was denounced anew. An investigation was called for, and a hearing on the entire matter was scheduled in St. Paul in September. The Itasca Paper Company hired none other than C.C. McCarthy to represent its interests at the hearing. Both he and Bussard were summoned to testify. McCarthy traveled to the Twin Cities via Duluth, where he told a reporter he would urge that no higher stage of water shall be maintained behind the dams than when they were originally built. This would guarantee adequate flowage in Grand Rapids. He also vented his anger at the managers of the dams, saying that the ordinary Army officer, by his military education, is totally unfitted to have much to do with business, and he emphasized that changes must be insisted upon. Well, the testimony given in St. Paul stood in marked contrast to the strong statements and charges that had become commonplace in the northern Minnesota press. Anselm Bossert, in the public eye as he had never been during his years as a depot agent, was led to testify that the Itasca Paper Company had added equipment for more pulp production than originally planned, demanding more water power from the river than had been thought feasible. When asked point blank whether he thought the reservoir system should be abolished, Bussard, like the other witnesses, stated that he had never favored the abandonment of the reservoirs. He added that with better management, he would actually support extension of the system. Boy, talk about backing down. C.C. McCarthy, despite several interesting verbal altercations with representatives of the Corps also spoke moderately. Primarily, he pleaded that the Corps consider the interests of those dependent on the river in the northern part of the state. The Minneapolis Journal's report was headlined, "Opponents Have Taken to the Woods," and they exulted in explaining that from the Twin Cities point of view, that opposition to the reservoir system had been so slight. Actually, although the two sides had thoroughly discussed the various issues, they had resolved none of them. Complaints continued in subsequent years, though there was never again such a drastic confrontation as that of 1905. But the Itasca Paper Company's problems with low water at Grand Rapids were by no means over. Inadequate water power would have to be reckoned with in the years to come. And this is only the beginning of the problems that Bossert is facing. Next time, we'll look at some more.